Flowing with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we may conclude this today. I'm not totally sure yet, so we'll just wait and see. Amen. We're flowing with the Holy Spirit so He can have His say-so. We made mention of the fact that the only active member of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is in the earth today is the Holy Spirit. Okay? That doesn't mean Jesus and God aren't doing something. They are. They're in heaven right now, but the Holy Spirit has been left. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and we are here for that dispensation. I mean, all the Old Testament prophets prophesied about this time that we're living in right now. Yet for most Christians, a lot of them look back and say, oh, I just wish we could live back in the time of Moses and see the Red Sea split and see the Passover lamb, all that take place, you know, but they were looking forward to you and I, the dispensation of grace that we're living in, where God poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. You and I do. Amen. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade places for no one. God saw to it. You know, you could have been born in the 17th century, in the 10th century. You could have been born back in the time of Christ, before Christ. But God saw to it that you would have a time and a place at this time in history that we're living in right now. Isn't that wonderful? But notice Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, page 1. We've been using this as our golden text here. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. And verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Notice the phrase that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God loves to move in chaotic situations. Do you know that? There was nothing here except like the moon surface. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. Scientists will send rocket ships, you know, millions and millions of miles away to discover some planet out there. And, oh, this is just rocks and dust. Could have saved them billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. Amen. Just rocks and dust. But notice there is nothing until God moved and then things began to take place. If God had an active place, the Holy Spirit had an active place in what we call creation in the beginning, in the Genesis account, the Spirit of God had an active role in what we see as exists today out here. You look out this window and you see all the vegetation, everything that exists, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. God created that. But before all that was a bunch of chaos. And what God says to me in this scripture right here, that He is invited to move in chaotic situations. And I wrote down here that God will move where we allow Him to move. God will move where we allow Him to move. Now, we said this last week, that the Lord God is a perfect gentleman. The Holy Spirit, I should say, is a perfect gentleman. He will not butt in on someone's life. Okay? He will never barge in to someone's life, but He will come where He's invited. Okay? Now, the devil, on the other hand, he'll force his way in there. Amen? Like this saying, people say, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You let him in your car before you know it, he's in the driver's seat. That's why the devil operates. But God's not like that. Now, we found out that the last 3 weeks, we talked about how the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will speak to you. He will comfort you. He will teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. He will show you things to come. And He will give peace to you. Amen. Now, if you would go this morning, and I want to talk about this river that's on the inside of us. Go to Jude chapter 1. Now, if you don't know where that is, table of contents, or go to the book of Revelation and turn back one book and you'll run into the book of Jude. Okay, it's just one chapter. So if you go to Revelation, just go back one and you're right there in the territory, all right? Now, I'm going to be reading this out of the New Living Translation, okay? But today, what I'd like to, what I had in my heart was to talk about how to tap into a fresh anointing for your life. How to tap into a fresh anointing. Are you all with me this morning?
Amen.
Are you believing God with me for utterance today?
Amen.
Amen. I heard a preacher say that. Are you believing with me? Amen. That's a good thing to say. Not just a spectator, but are you pouring this morning on the gift of God? Amen.
Yeah.
On the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It's important to do that. Because
we
have our part, preachers have their part in preparation, but you can't just sit there and say, all right, what's he going to do next? You have to be pulling, amen? When I go to a meeting, when Lynn and I go to a meeting, we always pray beforehand and say, Father, we ask you to speak through that brother or that sister. We make a demand on the gift of God that's on the inside of them. We ask you, Lord, to speak through them whatever we need to hear in Jesus' name. And then we put a demand, and that's okay to do that. We put a demand on the gift, on the anointing, so that when that person speaks, we're going to hear words from heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, Jude chapter 1, verse 14 in the New Living, it says this. This is talking about the latter days. It says, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of holy ones, saints. How many of you? That's us. To execute judgment upon the people of this world, and he will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done, for all the insults of the ungodly sinners that have spoken against him. Okay? Now, he's talking about people in the world right here, okay? Now, he's not talking about, hopefully, not people in the church. We don't want to be part of that company. You understand what I mean? But look at verse 16. He says, these are people that are grumblers. Now, notice the top of the list. These are people that are grumblers and complainers. Now, listen, you would have thought, you know, if I was God and I was making this list, I would have chose something else. That's why I'm not God. Amen? But notice at the top of his list, he says, these are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want. Isn't that interesting in verse 6? He's talking about the latter days, end times type stuff. And he says that people will flatter others for what reason? To get what they want. Amen? Now, what's the difference between praise and flattery? Now, flattery is, in other words, somebody says something to you for the sole purpose of getting something out of you. In other words, the motive is selfish. Right? You say, honey, you're really good looking, man. But that dude has something else in mind. Are you with me? Huh? Need I go further? Huh? Flattery says something to someone to get something out of somebody, to deceive that person so that they get something from them. Okay? Now, praise, on the other hand, is totally different. Praise means you have that person's interested heart and you want to pour into them because you love them. End of sentence. That's it. Praise God. And there's a real difference between, you know, someone inviting you out for dinner. Anybody can invite you out to dinner, breakfast, lunch, mid-lunch, you know, whatever. But what is the motive behind it? What is the purpose behind it? Is it so that they can dump junk on your ears? So they can say stuff to you? Are you with me now? This can happen in Christian circles. This can happen in any realm. And it's really important that the motive has to be right. Now, at the top of God's list, he says grumblers and complainers. Amen? You know, we ought to just ban from our vocabulary, and I say this for all of us, we ought to ban through the power of the Holy Spirit grumbling and complaining. Praise God. Are we in church this morning?
Amen.
Is this Bible this morning we're reading here, grumbling and complaining? Well, I don't like the way they do this. I don't like the way they run this. I don't like the way they do this. Well, that's none of our business. Amen? And so many times people stick their nose in other people's business and get involved in other people's business when it's not their business at all. Are you with me? The best thing is just shut up and pray for people. If you see something that's wrong, you just pray. Praise God. But we need not put ourselves and sit in the seat of the scornful and get what the world does and complain. And you know, that's exactly the way the world system is. People talk about that. They go to work and on their breaks and stuff. I've talked to people personally, and I've worked in organizations like this. I was a school bus driver for almost 12 years. And I worked around some of the most ungodly people you can imagine. In two different districts, actually, you know. And it was part-time and everything. But I'm telling you, everywhere I went, there are grumblers and complainers. I mean, I tell you, they would sit around, drink coffee all day on their break, and talk about how bad the boss was and criticize other employees. And I'm so glad I didn't have a part in that. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. One time I walked in, there was actually a fist fight that took place. Two grown men. Did you hear about so-and-so? What happened? No, they had a fist fight today. They had to break it up. Two older bus drivers, older than me. See, that's the world system. The world system is you criticize, you complain, you pick on people, and you criticize, and you fault find and things like that. He said, that's the way the world is, amen? Grumblers and complainers, but we can resist that. How many of you know that?
Amen.
Okay? Resist that next time somebody comes to you and tries to talk about the boss. You know, hey, they might be wrong. They might be wrong. But what's your job? Your job is to pray for them and to bless them. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right, let's read on here. It says, verse 17, but you, my dear friends, you must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. And they told you that in the last times there would be scoffers who purpose in life to satisfy their ungodly desires. In verse 18. All right. Are we living in these days right now? All right. These people are the ones who are creating, notice this, divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. Or we could say they don't allow the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of them. Amen? It says, verse 20 says this, but you, dear friends, talking to believers, he says, build each other up on your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall bring you to eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And then you must show mercy to those who whose faith... I just lost my place here. Okay, it's wavering, yeah. If I touch this iPad the wrong way, it shifts and it goes to another page, and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. Now, the Amplified of Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Let's look at that. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says this. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher. Notice this, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I've noticed, because I know me better than anybody else, that I've noticed this, that when I'm praying and I'm in prayer, and I come out of the place of prayer, fellowship with God, that's communion with God, the last thing I want to do is criticize somebody else. You with me? Why? Because when you're in tune with God and you're in tune with Him, people that have, see, Christians, let's talk about Christians. Christians that have a critical spirit, they don't pray. Okay? Christians that backbite, gossip, don't pray. Are you with me?
Amen.
They don't. Because if they were praying, they wouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. Are you with me? Now, they may look spiritual, they may dress spiritual, they may talk spiritual, but let me tell you something, they are not in fellowship with God. And I have to say this sometimes. It's important that we understand this. Because we want to walk in the light, we want to walk in the truth. Amen? And folks, you have to understand, when you hear something from someone else, you're only hearing one side of the story.
That's right.
So for you, if I, you know, even myself, if somebody comes to me and I hear one side of someone's situation, it would be wrong of me to draw conclusions because I'm only seeing one side of it.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And this is the spirit of the world. But he says that if we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, he says that we will keep ourselves in the love of God. We'll keep ourselves in the love of God. You know, Jesus, the disciples came to him and they talked about, Lord, what are the signs of the times? You know, and he listed a bunch of things. But one of the things that he mentioned was this. He says, because iniquity will abound, in other words, sin will abound in the last days. He says the love, and that's the agape word, the agape love of many will wax cold. Because sin abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, people get their eyes on people instead of their eyes on God. And so what happens is you go from warm and hot to lukewarm because people have their eyes on other people. Amen?
Amen?
If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will never make a mistake. I'll tell you that right now. Amen? But notice in 20, it says right here in the Amplified, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? When we pray in the Holy Spirit, the Lord will protect us from all that ungodly junk. Amen? Are you with me? Praise God. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5 for a minute. And I love this scripture here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Maintaining a spirit-filled life. Thank you, Jesus. You have to understand, folks, that Christians, we as believers, we can do things that quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. By the way, sometimes maybe the way it's being communicated, sometimes we get the idea that Christians can just do anything they want to do and expect God to keep blessing them. It doesn't happen, folks. I'm telling you, it doesn't happen that way. Amen? But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So notice what he says about us. He says, you are the light of the Lord. But he says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, have no fellowship. Notice this. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship. Oh, you all see that there? Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen? Let me ask you a question. If a believer is involved in something like this, does God obligate you to spend time with them if they're unrepentant? No. Not at all. Why? Because it can eventually contaminate you. Okay? There's a difference between someone that has a repentant heart and someone that just wants to continue their lifestyle in a place of sin. Amen? Folks, there's a place in the church that we still need to talk about sin and things like this. Are you with me? Somehow we feel like we've gotten so far away from even talking about these kind of things, but this is what keeps us in the blessing. Okay? This is not hellfire and brimstone. This is called walking in the Word of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Everybody can smile a little bit. Now, I'm not pointing anybody out here. We're communicating the Word of God, all right? So, praise God. Don't take it personal. Amen. But have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done in secret. Verse 13, but all things are reproved and made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now notice verse 14, it says, wherefore he saith, God says, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, what's the difference between someone that's sleeping and someone that's dead? Well, you really can't tell unless you check their pulse. He says, "Awake, thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, let me ask you this question here. Is Paul writing the book of Ephesians to Christians or non-Christians? Christians. All right. "See then," verse 15, "that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. And how much more today? "See then you to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." In other words, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Amen. "Wherefore," verse 17, "be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Is that God's will? "Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." He's saying here, you can get to the place like the world. They're drunk on wine, drunk on beer, drunk on these kind of things. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't get drunk on the world stuff, but get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Remember on the day of Pentecost, they actually thought that they were drunk. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter said, "We're not drunk like you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." But he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Remember that? He quoted the book of Joel, chapter 2. Talked about the outpouring and what was going to happen. And they were singing. They were loud. They were excited, jumping around. And they thought they were drunk. But no, they weren't drunk. They were just filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. If there was ever a time that we needed to be a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's right now. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, there's been so much trash and junk that's out there in the world, and even in the church world, that's just been coming at us, you know. But I'm telling you what, there's still a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we can stay free from the contamination of this world system. Yes. Glory be to God. And it says we're to have no unfruitful fellowship. We're not to have fellowship with unfruitful deeds of darkness. But notice it says right here, don't be drunk. Verse 18, say, don't be drunk. Don't be drunk. That's on the natural stuff. But he says, get drunk on the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's going to explain that here in these next couple of verses right here. We're talking about a fresh anointing, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, since we're talking about the how to flow with the Holy Spirit. Here's the first way I know to do it. Verse 19. Now, this is after verse 18, right? He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, there's a whole lot here. But the first characteristic, if you're taking notes here, and I encourage you to do that in the back of your bulletin here, the first characteristics of the Spirit-filled life is speaking. Speaking. Now, hold your place here in Ephesians and go over to Acts chapter 2 for a minute here. I want to show you something here. Be filled with the Spirit, he says, speaking, verse 19, speaking to one another. But in Acts 2:4, it says this, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to what? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want you to notice something here. I know this is very familiar scripture, you've seen this before, but I want to show you something right here. That when they were filled with, this is the initial outpouring, of course, on the day of Pentecost, that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that this, they began to speak with other tongues. They spoke. So what was the first area that the Spirit of God affected when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? What was it?
Their mouth.
Their mouth. Okay? So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will affect your mouth. Now, in this case, they spoke with other tongues, but it will also control, help control your natural human, in our case, English. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to help control your tongue. James says, the tongue no man can tame. Now, the people throw up their arms and say, there it is. No one can tame the tongue. No, if you read the rest of the scripture there, he's talking about letting the Holy Spirit have dominance, predominance in your life so that he can control what comes out your mouth. And that's why the Bible says, let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. You know, most of the time, if you stop and think about it, why do people criticize other people? Why do people criticize friends and neighbors and relatives and pastors? And why do people do that? So that they can feel good about themselves. Amen? And a lot of times, in order to feel good about themselves, people that are grumblers and complainers try to get other people to join in with them. Okay? Now, when the devil fell, did he fall alone?
No.
He took 1/3 of the angels with him. Okay? Because the devil knows that he was wrong. And you read in the book of Isaiah, he says, I will. 5 times he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High God. He was corrupted, his pride, his beauty. And he says, I want to be like the Most High God. Now there's 3 archangels. There's Gabriel, there's Michael, and then there was Lucifer. Lucifer was called Son of the Morning. He was not created in the position that he is in now. And he made a choice to rebel against God. And he did not have a devil tempting him. There's no redemption for, that's why there's no redemption for the devil. He knew what he was doing. Amen. That's why God can have mercy on you and I, because we've been tempted by the devil. Amen. The Bible says the whole world lies in darkness. At one time, we were all part of that. We were all deceived. And that's why God was merciful and sent a Savior to us. But there's no redemption for Lucifer. There's no redemption for him. He knew what he was doing, openly rebelled against God. He was not content in the position that he had in heaven as the worship leader. God says the Bible is created in his vocal cord, his pipes, you know, and from all indication, they say that he was a singer and a worshiper in heaven. And he was beautiful. God created him that way. All right. But there is an insecurity on the inside of him. God didn't put that there, but he says, I just got to be like God. I got to be more like, I got to be just like him. And that's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, I think it is, he says, behold, I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. He fell so quick and so hard and so beat up. Why? Because his pride is what brought him low. Okay? But don't you know, Lucifer was communicating to, you know, the Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Each one had 1/3 of the angels underneath them. And Lucifer was communicating things to his angels underneath him. He was an archangel, okay? So he had angels underneath him. And so he's communicating rebellion to those angels underneath him to go up and say, we're going to take over God's throne. That's the dumbest thing a person could ever think of. Are you with me? Don't you know he regrets that decision? He didn't have to make that decision, but he made that choice. He made that decision, and it's too late for him. Okay? Don't you think the angels that went with him regret that decision? Huh? They became fallen beings and fallen angels and demons and evil spirits that we know today. Amen? They made a wrong choice. Amen? They chose to side in with Satan. They chose to side in with Lucifer. And what happened? Brought them down. And anytime a person will side in with the enemy, it's always for the purpose of bringing down. But thank God we don't have to yield to that. Amen? But it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Now in Acts 2:4 says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they what? They began to speak. Amen? Now, you know, God could have said it like this. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they had a tingle in their elbow. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and had goosebumps. But what part of the body did it affect? It affected their mouth. It affected their tongue. Are you with me? Praise God. I'm so thankful for God's mercy and for God's grace, because when we submit ourselves to God, then we're going to be able to say things. Amen? When we're more flesh conscious, that's when we speak from here instead of from here. Amen? Families get in arguments and bicker and fight and all this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you can avoid 100% of that. Okay? Now, that's a goal for all of us, isn't it? Families can avoid strife and fighting and, you know, even on the way to church. You know what I'm saying? Getting in arguments. Amen? Because when a person's filled with the Spirit, they're not going to yield to that Spirit. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing when you start getting husbands and wives and kids flowing together. And, you know, well, my kid just needs to be entertained. He needs another Game Boy. He needs this. No, 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 no. They need the Holy Ghost. Okay? Not another thumb exerciser. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with playing games. You understand that? But let me tell you something. We need the Holy Ghost. Our kids need the Holy Ghost. Our teens, our 20-somethings, we need the Holy Ghost. We need to know how. I learned how to flow with God when I was in my 19, 20, 21-year-old. Okay? It's not because I'm old-fashioned, but I learned to tap into God at a young age, and it saved me from so much turmoil and so much junk. And yet I had people, friends all around me that went the other way. They went and they're no longer in church. They're no longer with God. Because they went the flesh way. And they've been through 1, 2, 3 marriages. You know? And all kind of junk you can't even imagine. And they were saved at one time. But they walked away. Because they went the way of the flesh. And when you go the way of the flesh, brother and sister, you're asking for trouble. Amen? It may look appealing and the devil may dangle the carrot before you, but I'm telling you, there's a hook on the other side of that thing. Amen? It pays to walk with God. It pays to serve God. Godliness is profitable, the Bible says. Amen? So God could have affected another part of your body, but see, the Spirit of God affected their what? Their tongue. Their tongue. Praise God. Their tongue. Amen. I may mention, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was taking a drive one day, not about 2 weeks ago, actually, and I was up near Zillionopal. Some of you know where that is. Some of you live up that way, you know. I was on this backcountry road, and I had taken a prayer drive just to spend time with God and pray and just get ready and prepare my heart and things like that. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I looked at my rearview mirror, and I saw a white Toyota truck that was almost kissing the back end of my car. So I looked at my speedometer. I'm going a little bit over the speed limit. I'm going, you know, I'm not like a Sunday driver here. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, boy, this guy's really close to me. And I couldn't even see it, the person there. I didn't know if it was a man or woman at first, because all I could see was the front end of his truck. It was up high, you know. And so I put the gas on a little bit just to speed up, and he stayed right with me. I mean, right with me, you know. And all of a sudden, I kind of ducked down. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and all of a sudden, he starts giving me sign language. You all know what I'm talking about. And I'm thinking, so I immediately thought, what did I do something to offend this guy? Now, I had been on this road for several miles, but he pulled out behind me, you know, from another side road. But I'd been on that road for like 14, 15 miles. So I'm just going along about my business, you know. And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything, you know. And so we started getting close to town. There was a red light there, you know. And I'm thinking, because he starts screaming at the top of his lungs using four-letter words. You understand what I'm saying? and screaming at me. The guy had rage all over his face. He's probably about a 25-year-old kid. And I'm thinking, but Ray, you know, here's the thing. I knew that the devil was upset because I was praying.
Amen.
I just knew it. I just knew it. The enemy was upset. Because I'd spend a good 2.5, 3 hours just praying in the Spirit, praying for you guys and stuff like that. Just praying in tongues, you know? And most of you don't know that sometimes, you know what I mean? But I'm not saying that to go, well, look at Pastor Keith, but there are times that I'll spend hours praying over you guys in your situations. Amen? Because that's what I'm called to do. All right? Amen? So next time a person wants to criticize me, think about that time I'm praying for you. Just a thought. I don't like the way pastor does this. I don't like the way he does that. Well, listen, if you're called a pastor, then you run the church the way that you should run the church. I never go to other pastors and tell them how to pastor their churches. Never. I got friends of mine that are pastors. I could offer them advice even. But I do not say anything unless they open the door up for me to talk to me and invite me. I'm not going to go force myself in there and try to tell them what to do. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's none of my business. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying, and I mean, he is just getting violent, you know. And so I see the red light. There's about 5 cars, and we're coming to a stop, and I'm thinking, all right, what's going to happen here? I could feel fear trying to come against me. I could feel it, literally. It's just spiritual. So immediately, I just started praying in the tongues, and I just took authority. Under my breath, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we came to a stop. Instead of him stopping right behind me, he just darted down a side road and went down. I don't know where he went from there, you know. And immediately, I could feel resentment. I could feel anger. And I felt justified to have that. You understand? Because I didn't do anything wrong. Literally didn't do anything wrong. But whatever was going on inside that guy, he was taking that anger out on me at that moment. I could feel the unforgiveness, the resentment trying to come against me. So you know what I did? I pulled out my spiritual pistol, pulled that thing back, cocked it, and I said, Lord, I forgive him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the devil just went, is that all? Amen. And about a mile later, I was completely free from that. I came into town, made a left turn, and went out towards the country, and I thought, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, had I been in the flesh over that thing, God only knows what would have taken place. You know, because when you're in the flesh and you make decisions like that, I mean, you'd be surprised what people will do. I mean, but I thank God that I was able to have the right response in that situation. Now, I had all the bad feelings that still were there. I'm telling you, they came against me. Fear came against me. I had visions of fighting this guy. I mean, just duking it out right there in the middle of the road. I had thoughts of doing that. Do you understand? That wasn't my thought. But I've seen this happen before. I remember when I was a teenager one time. I was at the intersection of Route 51 and Brownsville Road. I was a teenager. I was in a car driving my car. I was with another friend. And somebody did something. And this dude got out of the car. And he had muscles bigger than my legs, his arms. And this is like 11 o'clock at night. I was telling my son about this. And he went over there and just went, kaboom. He started beating on the guy's hood. And the guy was just terrified, you know. And just started punching his car with his bare hands, you know, and just dragged him up, put him on the ground, started beating him up. And then the light turned green. I thought, I don't know whatever happened to that guy, you know. I mean, he could have died right there on the spot. You know what I mean? All because of a flesh decision. A flesh decision. But we don't have to react to the flesh. We don't have to react to bitterness and anger. Joyce Meyer says it like this. She says, hurt people hurt other people. Amen? Hurt people hurt other people. So when we understand that, then we can help deal with things. And we can disarm some of that stuff that the enemy will try to use against us. Okay? But notice it says in verse 20, it says, or go back to Jude for a minute here. Jude 1:20, it says, I'm sorry. Yeah, Ephesians, I'm sorry. Verse 20. But you, dear beloved, build each other on your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, in Ephesians, it says the first characteristics is be filled with the Spirit. Number one, speaking. Now, that's Acts 2:4. We saw that. Look at Acts 4:8. Look at Acts 4:8. You know, it's interesting. I just thought of this. But when in Jude, it talks about about ungodly people, and he starts out with grumblers and complainers. Do you know what's interesting is when God was taking the Israelites out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. You remember the story? And they're camped at Mount Sinai. They've got tents, you know. And this is just a temporary place, but they're in their tents. And the Scripture tells us that they grumbled in their tents. This is the Israelites. And the Bible says the Lord heard them. You got people that are 2 million plus Israelites. They're in their tents. What are they? They're in their tents. You know. And Moses, oh, terrible pastor, terrible leader. You know, I mean, we know that because the Bible says they talked about Moses. They criticized him like you wouldn't believe. He was their best friend. Do you hear me? I heard somebody say one time, what you think is your worst enemy sometimes will be actually your best friend. Moses was their best friend. Scripture tells us he was the meekest man that ever lived in Numbers on the face of the earth. Guess who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses. Well, he wrote down what God told him. See, he didn't just get the Ten Commandments up there on Mount Sinai up there. He got the first five books of the Bible downloaded inside of him. That's pretty cool. Amen. And it says, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, meekness doesn't mean weakness. It means teachable, pliable, open, tender before God. So much so that when they criticized Moses, God says, I'm going to destroy them. He got down on his face. He says, oh, God, no, no, no. He says, forgive them. Have mercy on them. Now, that's a meek person right there. Amen. He knew they were wrong. He knew they were talking about him. But what did he do? Lord, have mercy on them. Forgive them. He stood in the gap. God had mercy on them. But notice in Acts 4, verse 8, it says that Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, notice, said, unto them, you rulers of people and elders of Israel. And he went on to preach some things right here. Notice again that when a person is filled with the Spirit, what happens? It affects their what? Their mouth. That's interesting. Amen. Do you ever want to give people a piece of your mind? Do you ever want to do that? Well, it better be the mind of Christ. They got to come unto them, bless God, man, you're loaded for bears. They say, you're ready to go at it, you know. Not with these, but with this. But I'll tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord will disarm that stuff. You might be on your way. You might be on a mission to say some things you shouldn't be saying. And the Lord will say, hold it. You'll hear brakes squealing. Not literally, but you know what I mean? Don't go there. Don't go that way. Walk in love. Years ago, way, way back, 20-some years ago, I had a guy that was so upset at me that was coming to my church. And he got involved in some other ungodly junk, some people that were at that time in our first church, and just got involved with the wrong people, okay? And he got so mad at me, so fiery mad at me, that he decided to pull his wife, him, and out of the church and leave the church and everything. And, you know, what can you do? Just ticked off, mad over nothing. All they did was they heard what someone else said. Are you with me? Instead of looking at the whole truth. Are you with me? And this guy called me up one day, and I knew he was going to call because he said he was. And he called me up and was going to give me a piece of his mind, and it was not a friendly thing. You know what I mean? But I was praying about that because I knew he was very angry. He was filled with rage and anger. Christian. And the Spirit of God spoke to me in a time of prayer before that happened. And he said, Keith, it's just as important how you answer him as how he speaks to you. It's important how you respond to him. Now, I didn't know the fullness of what that meant until he actually called me. But he called me, and I mean, he just spewed out a bunch of poison and junk and everything. And, you know, why try to defend yourself when you know they're not going to listen to you anyway? They're not going to hear you. If they don't have ears to hear, there's no use you trying to defend yourself. I quit trying to defend myself a long time ago. Are you with me? If a person wants to believe trash about you, let them believe it. You know, they're going to have to suffer the consequences of it. Are you with me? I'm not going to get down on that level and try to roll my sleeves back and try to work this thing out. It ain't going to work. Okay? So anyway, I let him talk. You know, I didn't butt in. I wanted to. My flesh wanted to. But he talked. And not talked. He yelled at me on the phone. And said what he doesn't like about me and all this kind of stuff, you know. So I let him sputter out. And he said everything he was going to say. And when he did, I said, I called his name. I said, is there anything else you want to share with me? I didn't think he expected me to say it that way. Is there anything else you want to share with me? And so I said this. I said, first of all, so-and-so, I said, I want you to know that there's always two sides to a story. But I said, if I ever did anything to hurt you or offend you, I said, I'm asking you for your forgiveness right now. And that person was not expecting that. Now, I knew in this situation, I did nothing wrong at all. Not one thing. Not one thing. And if you do something wrong, fess it up. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to cover it up. Fess it up. And so I said, you know, I ask your forgiveness, and I pray for your, I told him, I said, look, I want nothing but the best for you and for your wife, for your future and everything. And I'm telling you, he didn't know how to handle that. Well, we hung up, you know, but I knew that I responded the way God wanted me to respond in that situation. Well, about a year later or so, I was going to a funeral service, and this person happened to be there at the funeral service, you know. And you know what was interesting about that? Because I knew that I've had a chance that I might see this person because of the acquaintances and stuff. I knew that I might see them. Do you know, he came up to me and gave me a good bear hug right in the middle of the funeral home. And he apologized to me. Right in the funeral home, body laying in the casket. Not trying to be graphic. He comes up, hugs me, says, man, forgive me, you know. And I said, hey, it's no problem at all. Don't worry about it, you know. See, love doesn't hold grudges. Amen. Love doesn't hold any grudges. Amen? But why am I saying that? Because the love way is always the best way to go. It's always, you will always take the high road when you take the love way. Well, if I do that, they're going to walk. No, Jesus was the greatest lover there was. No one walked on top of him. He was a man of man's. He wasn't no Casper Milk Toast, women controlling him and all this kind of, give me a break. Jesus was a man of man's. Are you with me now? No one controlled him except God the Father. Bless the Lord. And so go back to Ephesians and we'll close here because we're almost out of time here. Hallelujah. So these characteristics, verse 19, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does the devil want to cause division? Because he wants to stop what God wants to do. Are you with me now? If he can get families, if he can get churches spread out in all different directions, why? Then he thwarts the plan and the purpose of God that he has. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen. And that's why we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our ears. We have to protect who we're hearing from, what we're hearing, so that it keeps our heart right before God. Otherwise, are you with me now? Now, speaking to yourselves is one of the characteristics. Then he says, number two, singing. Now that has to do with the mouth. Isn't that amazing? Now the three out of the four things that I'm mentioning here in this time left that we have here, I'm kind of cramming this in here, but three out of four has to do with the mouth. Number one, speaking. Number two, singing. A person that's filled with the Holy Ghost will speak good things. Amen? Speaking to yourselves. Speaking. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen? You know what I do before I come in here a lot of times? Since I don't have an office here right now, I walk the hallways, do a big loop around there, go outside in the middle out there and start speaking the word. Speaking the word. You drive home, you speak the word of God. It does something to you. Just get one scripture. One scripture. But number two, singing. Everybody say singing.
Singing.
Hallelujah. Well, I don't have a voice, Pastor Keith. I can't sing very well. Well, make a joyful noise. Amen. The Bible says. Amen. It's hard to be depressed when you're singing for God. Unless you're singing a country song, you understand? Heard a guy preacher say one time, if you want to get your dog back, your truck back, your wife back, and your money back, you sing a country song in reverse. You'll get it in a minute. Okay. It's like I left my wife in Nashville. My dog got run over by a car. You know, that's basically the kind of lyrics that you'll find in a lot of these songs. Terrible. The people love it because it sounds good. But what about the lyrics? I don't think God's opposed to any type of style music at all, but it's the lyrics that are behind it. Amen? Amen? I don't think God's against country style music at all. I don't think he's against classical music at all. I don't think he's against any type of music, but it's the lyrics that you put behind it that drive that thing. Are you with me? I mean, my daughter listens. I'm not real crazy about it, but, you know, Christian rap. You know? Kind of makes me feel old. But she likes it. But, you know, I listen to the lyrics, and there's some good lyrics to that. I guess that means I'm closing soon here. But giving thanks is the third. Singing, speaking, singing, and notice this, giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Boy, that's a big one. Now notice all three of these have to do with the mouth. This is a person, a man or the woman, I submit this to you, that's controlled by the Spirit of God. They speak, they sing, and they give thanks. They give thanks. You know, some people are treated better when they're dead. I've stood through all these 30-some years of pastoral work. I've stood at the gravesite, and I've stood at the head of the casket at times and saw people that weren't getting along, and all of a sudden they were complimenting that person and laying it. They're not there. And they're saying, oh, they were such a good person. They did this and they did that, and they're crying and everything, you know. And I'm thinking, could have fooled me. All you talked about was how ugly they were, how bad they were while they were alive. Now it's too late. They're dead. They're gone. They're out of here. That's why I say some people are treated better dead than they are when they're alive. But, you know, let's keep this before you. What if this was the last time? Now, I am not prophesying this. I'm not saying this. But I want you to get a perspective of this. What if this was the last time you saw the person you're sitting next to right now? Right now. Hypothetically. You understand what I'm saying? That's not a bad confession. But I'm saying, what if this was the last time you saw that person sit next to you right now? How would that affect the way you treat them in the next hour? See, we don't think like that, do we? Because we think they're going to be around forever. But I'm saying this for a perspective sake, because if you knew that was the last day that you're going to see that person that you're with, how would you treat that person? What type of respect would you show them? What type of honor would you show them? What type of love would be displayed towards them? I don't think I've ever said that till today. That's the way that we are to live like that. Okay? Live as if Jesus Christ is coming back tonight. If he really was coming back, we knew tonight, that would definitely alter the way we do things. Bless the Lord. Oh, my, my, my. It's so important, folks. Listen, I hope you hear my heart this morning. Okay? I don't have an axe to grind, as they say. But what I'm saying is there's something in my spirit, man. Okay? Don't allow the enemy in your thinking towards one another. Okay? Put strife to a screeching halt. Close the door on it. Amen? And allow the spirit of love and the spirit of goodness and the spirit of God to flow out of you to the people around you. And be thankful. He says, giving thanks. Be thankful. Be thankful for that wife. Be thankful for that husband. Well, you know, if you lived with them, then you wouldn't be so thankful, but, you know. Now, listen, I'm not talking about abuse. You understand? I'm not talking about that's another story altogether. If there's abuse going on, you need to get out of that situation. That's love. But I'm taught all things being equal, you know, just natural humanness. We all have a human side to us, all right? And we have to allow for each other's faults and so forth and so on. I mean, any one of us can get on each other's nerves. That's the truth. How many of you have a family? You know what I'm talking about. Did you ever have somebody do something that you're with that bother you, irritate you? Okay? All right? Well, when you start giving thanks and you start amplifying that person's good points, it will accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Okay? Now, pastors could do the same thing. I've been with pastors before, and I mean, they about shear their sheep in front of me. We're sitting down and talking, and I mean, get that razor out. You know. I mean, shear them. You know. Wool ain't all over the ground, man. It's just everywhere, you know. And I'm thinking, man, you got to be thankful for the people you do have, you know. Yeah, people have faults and failures, but, you know, why not have it? Is a hospital for well people? Well, a church doesn't have perfect people. But the church is to help people where they're at. So, yeah, there's things that people deal with, and that's okay. That's part of the package. That's part of the territory. But, you know, you have to love the sheep. Okay? I heard a guy personally tell me this one time, and he finally, praise God, he got out of pastoring. He said, you know, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. He told me personally. And there was another associate of mine standing by that heard the same thing. The ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. Well, I noticed he was always upset at people, always irritated at people, you know. And finally, he got out of the pastorate, went into the mission field. That's where he belonged, you know. But if you're a shepherd and you're a true shepherd, you want to spend time ministering to the sheep, okay? Amen. And being with them, ministering to them because of the love of the shepherd, okay? Amen. Praise God. But the key is to be thankful. Amen. To be thankful. Be thankful for one another. Be thankful for your family. Express thanksgiving to one another. Be quick to thank people. When people do things for you, thank them. Don't expect it. But be thankful for everything. Well, the last thing he says is submitting to one another. Amen. That's always a big word, but submitting. We don't have a hard time submitting to authority when we're in tune with the Holy Ghost and what He wants us to do. Praise God. So how many of you want to be filled with the Spirit? Amen. I do. I want to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I am determined to stay the course, to stay on track. Like Jesus put his eyes, like set his eyes like flint, his face like flint, the Bible says in Isaiah. Put his face towards the mark for the prize, you know. Because there's something more important at hand. Not the little stuff that goes on, but the big picture, the big thing that God has for us to reach. Do you realize, folks, how many human beings that there are in this region here, just here, that God wants to touch, and He wants to use every one of you to do that? I'll tell you how to get there. It's one person at a time. Amen? And if we stay on course with God and we stay full of the Spirit, filled with God, you know, I'm not talking about weird and strange and goofy and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking about just walking in love, walking in the Spirit, praying, you know, staying in tune with God, staying connected to the church. Don't let the devil pull you out. Amen? But stay connected. Stay connected. And when you do, you're going to find yourself in a great position. Hallelujah. Where God's Spirit will just be flowing through you. It'll just be a natural thing. Bless the Lord. Honey, you got something to close out? Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We bless you, Father. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear these words inside my heart. The Spirit of God just breathed inside of me and said this. When you keep thanksgiving in your forefront and you're thankful, then I can give you more. As you stay open and stay grateful and stay thankful for that which I've given unto you, then the doorway for more and more and more will come from heaven on your behalf. But when you close the door and stop being thankful and stop being grateful, then it seems like there's an iron heaven above your head. But know this, it doesn't have to be that way. Stay hooked by staying grateful. Stay thankful for those whom I've given to you. Stay thankful for that what you have, and more will be given. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you for that right now.